Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Hollis Chapman Show. Happy Friday to you. I hope all is going well for you. We do have a special guest signed up. I hope she calls back in. She called a little bit early. She messed up the, She got confused with the Mountain Standard Time and all that kind of good stuff. And that happens, especially at time change, even though Tempe, Arizona does not change our times. So special guest, please call in. You know, she's very, very talented lady, you know, but have you grown up in your family is toxic, your family is kind of half the problem in your life? I mean, as a young person, you know, we have to be home and, and you can't go home or you don't want to go home because it's just as crazy at home as it is out in the world. Now, that was our guess's thing, you know. She's a middle child of five, thanks to a little toxic and chaotic. So when you go to school, he's like, oh, shoot, I got to go home to all that. So it makes you want to, if you can, get out of there. It makes you want to sit there and dream about doing something better for yourself. So as a high school graduate, the next day she left. You know, she went to New York City, having dreams of going to L.A., and that makes me think about when I left high school myself. And mine's a little different because I left high school. I knew I was going. I was going to the University of Rhode Island. I knew I was playing football. So I had things waiting for me. I knew I had people waiting for me, and they knew I was coming, stuff like that. So a little different. But I was still very nervous. First time going away from home like that. You know, packing up and gone. So all the way down to drive down from my own little town to the University of Rhode Island, boy, I was nervous. I had second thoughts. Should I go down there? What do I do? What about friends? Do I make friends easily? You know? So that happened. So when I got to the University of Rhode Island, the first 3 months of them being down there, I went home three or four times, you know, when I had holidays. But after the first year, got adjusted, made friends, things worked out. I didn't go back home again until after I graduated from college. You know, that's kind of weird. You know, over the summers, I stayed there and worked out and stuff like that. But again, it's different. But I just want to ask her, how's a young lady have enough strength and courage to leave home and go to a big city like New York and be strong? You know, how does she get over the ups and downs? You know, she's very talented. She's a marathon runner. She was. She was a triathlete. You know, all kinds of things. But I think with sports, just like it did for me, sports help you get stronger mentally. It helps you overcome. You know, for me, it's a point where, you know, you go out there, you're playing against other athletes who are all state in their, you know, in their state, in their cities. So I was just like one of everybody else. So it gets you stronger. I think sports got her stronger. It kept her going. She had a very successful career. But she hasn't called in yet. Special guest, if you're out there, the number is 646-595-4326. Please call in. Great show. All right. So, again, if she don't call in, we're going to go to plan B. So we can sit there and put you on hold a little bit, guys, so I can get the plan B in place, okay? So let me see what we got going on here. A little music. right, we're back live. I guess it's a call in, so we're on plan B. You know, we talk about a lot of stuff. My fallback for the last couple of weeks has been the Chris Cardell information ebook, great ebook. So we're just going to that. And online, he talks about online videos. Do you do have, in your business, and you're online, do you use online videos? Do you use videos? You know, YouTube is not big and huge for a reason. You know, I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but, you know, it's like a billion views a day, week, month. It's just all out there, you know. And so it's so big. It's got other ones that are great, too, okay? So if you don't use video online, you should. One of the best ways to make sure that your website passes the 8-second test that we talked about before is getting your website visitors to stop and stay on your site by using video. If you look at how the internet is moving and developing, websites as we've known them up to now are starting to morph into a multimedia site. Multimedia. You know, how cool is that? How exciting is that? You know, and I guess if she called this, she does a lot of stuff with, you know, Fox and stuff like that. So it would be really cool talking with her. The things we refer to as the internet is becoming more of a multimedia environment. The boundary between your internet experience and your television experience is starting to disappear. It's all starting to merge together, right? I do more streaming watching than I do TV watching, and I still get the information I need, right? How about you, right? Cable cutting, we all know that's been going on for a lot of years, you know. I mean, to me, I can't, you know, the cables, they sit there, oh, you could have 100, 200, 300 channels. I don't have time to watch all that. What's nice about streaming is I can watch what I want when I want, a little more what I want. And that's what's great. That's what really made things awesome. You know, you can binge watch on a weekend. I'm going to watch this with on a Saturday. I have nothing to do. Get the house cleaning done. All said, now I'm going to sit and relax, and I can binge watch your favorite thing. You know, you can't really do that on regular television. You watch what they put out there. So you may like it, you may not. But when the streaming comes along and being so powerful, you watch without commercials what you want to watch. You can sit there and binge watch all day if you like. All weekend. Online video is crucial in this downturn. Firstly, it's close to free, right? You just need a decent phone and ideally a lavalier microphone. If you want to be more professional, you can order an iPhone tripod, which means you can get steady footage for your video coverage. Online video is crucial in the economy because it builds the relationship with your customers. That's so important. Build that relationship. Nothing is more important right now than bonding with your customers. Video lets you do that. They want to see that you're a real person. Okay? You don't have to be there all the time. But maybe your intro, your intro stuff, you know, when you first get these stuff out there, put that video out there of Hollis. Put it out there. Let them know who it is. Let them know you're just not doing the AI thing. Do I use AI? Yes, I do. Okay, right now I'm losing my voice, so AI would be perfect to take over when I got stuff to do the rest of the day for my videos. Same thing. Or you're sick. You don't feel well. You don't want to feel like getting all made up. So you can use AI, but it's got, you know, you can do video that way. Okay? There are two main ways of doing online video. Two main ways. The first is you're looking at the camera and speaking to the camera, just like you see on TV news. If you're comfortable doing that, great. It gives you authority and will capture your viewers' attention. Great. But like I said, sometimes, some days, some weeks, you may not be, you know, wanting to get in front of the camera. You may not have your best week. You may not have your best hair day. You may need a haircut. Because when you do put video, and now people are crazy these days, they'll pick your stuff apart. Oh, good stuff, good content, but your background looks horrible. Oh, good content, but you look heavy in the face. Oh, great content, but this and this and this. So it makes people kind of leery going live on video. That's why I use AI. as an alternative. Okay? All the material's mine. All the content's mine. But I'm not really speaking. It's my little group I have. I have a number of them on my computer. You know, like I said, I just got the Paul Pona platform where we got 800 choices of faces to use. We have multiple languages that we can use, multiple emotions that we can use, excitement, sad, indifference. Paul Pona, that's again, his team is unbelievable. So it gives us all that access to do what we got to do to keep our videos exciting, keep our content exciting. Because again, when I run out of content myself, I can use TextWriter. It can write my content. I can sit there and tweak it. But a little bit, I use Office a lot in my stuff because that's who I cater to. Okay, we can do all that kind of stuff. So it's awesome. So the second thing, if you are comfortable doing that, great. If it gives you authority, it captures your viewers' attention, like I mentioned. Now, everyone is comfortable talking to a camera. That's fine, too. Is that case, you just someone interview you and ask the 5 or 6 most commonly asked questions in your business when it's being filmed. Ignore the camera and just chat to the person asking the questions. Ignore the camera. You know, ignore it. You know, and it takes time to do that. It takes time to get comfortable doing it. Because it's like human nature. You have a camera and want to peek over there. You got to look and see. Okay? But you got to ignore it. Pretend it's not there. You're just talking. You have a conversation. That's why I very seldom say interview when I do interviews. It's a conversation. It makes it relaxes me. It relaxes my guests. And we have a conversation. You know, don't hold back for a smile. If you got to laugh, you giggle a little bit, it makes them feel comfortable. That's why I use conversation more than I use interview. Nice. You can then edit that video into 5 or 6 separate videos, one for each answer. You can do that. I try not to do that because, again, you don't want to, yeah, to me personally, I don't want to be sitting at the computer all day doing things for certain interviews because, you know, we got interviews Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. So that's a lot of editing. That's a lot of things going on. So we try to sit there and get what we get. And let's say drop an F-bomb or something like that, F word. Otherwise, I won't edit it. Okay? Put your new video on the website. Email them to your customers. Put them on your social media and upload them on YouTube. Okay? You must have a mobile-first website in business. Okay? So you build, you know, a person who's going to design your website, one of the first things you ask them is it going to be mobile friendly? If your website and your stuff is not mobile friendly, you won't get any kind of love from the browsers. You won't get any kind of love on Google. This was the first thing they check for now. Can it be open on your mobile device? Why? Because 99.9% of the people who open websites these days are on their smartphone. So your information has got to be compatible to smartphones. Have to be. Mobile website traffic is now ranging from 60% to 70%, meaning that 60 to 70% of your website traffic is likely coming from people who are mobile device, right? This means that you need what we call a mobile-first website in business. Mobile-first website in business. Mobile first means that your entire marketing should be built around serving people on mobile. But now we have to imagine them on a phone. Is it easy to navigate? Can you swipe left, swipe right, go up and down? Is it easy? You know, does it move quickly still? Because on the phone, you got to be even quicker than desktop because they move most of the time they're moving. Unfortunately, they're in a car or they're on a, you know, they're on a commercial subway or something, so they want to get the information quick as they can. Boom, boom, boom. So it's got to be able to move. You can't have it upload slow. That's one thing that I don't like about the app I have about building apps. It's kind of, to me, it uploads slow. So that's my negative with that. It uploads slow. So I'm working on that, okay? Mobile first involves thinking about the behavior of the customer and the environment they're in. For example, someone at home or in the office or a desktop computer has time and space to carefully look at a website and read its pages. Mobile device, smartphone, you don't know where they're at. Again, you walk around campus at ASU, like we're at, they're on their skateboard. I've seen people on their skateboard with their mobile device out, on their bicycle with the mobile device out, you know, in the gym with the mobile device out as they ride their bike. Or even lifting. They put it on their Lapman watch, even though I think it's crazy because they'd be on the machines forever. You guys are nuts. But again, you got to think about where the customer is going to be when they open up your website. Think about it. So our mobile-first website will be aiming to capture that attention fast, possible with an online video or some of the other strategies we are going to cover. It's not just your website. Mobile first applies to all of your marketing. For example, when you email your customers, we need to remember that most will be opening these emails on a phone. And if we send them the web page from the email, we need to think about both the action we want that customer to take and the context and physical environment they're on and when they're making the decision. So your website via mobile, you go to the website, and this has changed over the years, but it's so good. You have to sit there, and when you go to a certain place, like say you're going to order some food or something, you go to the website, you see what you like. Now you got to sit there and go, you know, you got to close it out to make a phone call. Well, you got to make sure yours doesn't do that. You better have that phone icon right there. You tap on the phone icon. The number pops up. Boom. So all from the same app. All makes it real easy. That's how you keep your customer. You know, before they got the technology up to date, you had to sit there to close down the app. You got to find a number now. You got to go back and this and that. By that time, you lost them. It's changed now. Much better now. The phone number, the email address is right there, and you stay right where you were. Again, you push the phone icon, boom, the number comes up. You just push the phone call button right there. Easy. Again, they can do it with one thumb. They can still do what they're doing. They can do it with one thumb. If they're in a car, you know, they got the phone holder there, and they can do it with one thumb. So you got to think about where these people are doing their business from with the smartphone. So that's how you got to create your website. That's how you got to create for the mobile use, okay? Like I said about the speed, the vital importance of page load speed. Very important. My app that I use, the app that I use, it's one thing I'm not real pleased with. It takes a little too long to upload. It takes a little too long to upload. Okay? So it's so important. Google estimates that for every extra second your web page takes to download, your conversion rate, the percentage of web visitors who convert to a customer drops by 20%. Okay? You're losing money if your web page takes too long to load. Losing money. Bear in mind that Google is basing this on a huge amount of data they see going through both their advertising system and Google Analytics. It's a terrific statistic. Every extra second your website takes to download could be losing you another 20% of sales and profits. Wow, okay? That's money out of your pocket. Just because your website is downloading too slow. We are a yesterday's business. We are I want it now society. Our patience in life is gone. It really is. But we got to deal with it. We got to sit there and promote and work our stuff like it's there, okay? So this can't be because of the hosting on your website has been built and or both, it's why your decision about who's going to manage your website and online managing going forward is one of the most important you make. It's got to be fast. Got to keep on going fast. Boom, boom, boom. Unfortunately, that's our society today. If it's not fast enough for them, they will move on. There's another more subtle benefit for improving your page load speeds. If you do pay-per-click advertising on Google, one of the key components of success in your quality score, which is a score from 1 to 10, that Google gives all your keywords. Okay, so your quality score. I said again, all this stuff is important to Google, and we use Google because that's the elephant in the room. I mean, it's also Bing and Yahoo, but Google is a big boy. If you're doing well on Google, the rest of them will follow. Okay, so you get a nice little score for your keywords. That's great. Put simply, the higher your quality score, the cheaper your cost per click, and the higher up the page you appear. Simple as that. Let me say that again. The higher quality score, the cheaper your cost per click. That's very important, cost per click. The higher up the page you appear. So we want to be on page one. So we don't, if it's 10 listed on page one, you want to be up high. You want to be one, two, or three. Perfect. Because we don't go down farther than that. If I, as a consumer, I know myself, if I go to page one and that first business number one is what I want, I'm not going down any lower. You know, I'm not going down any lower. So that's your goal all the time, is to be page one, number one. That's your goal. So the faster your page loads, the higher your quality score, and the more successful your Google campaigns will be. Okay? Another marketing thing, another tip, you probably don't think about it, and that's the reason why we have two lines here, is put your phone number everywhere. Okay, we have two numbers, and sometimes when people call me, I'm a number that I don't give out. It's like, how in the heck did they get that number? Because when I have my personal phone number, I just answer as Hollis. But when I have a business phone number, I answer as a business line. Okay, so think about that. The fact that 60% to 70% of your website visitors are likely to be on mobile is a major challenge, but it's also a big opportunity. These customers are holding a phone in their hand, so how about getting them to call you? All right? Got the phone? Like I said, make it easy if they're after your website. Make sure your phone number is on the top third. Make sure your website address top third, below above the fold. They have to scroll down very far to find that information. Make it easy for them to get a hold of you. Okay? All you got to do is convince them to tap their phone and they're going through for your potential sale. Tap the phone. That's all I got to do. Not dial the numbers anymore. Just tap it. Right? Remember you have to use before you just have to, you know, dial the whole number? Not now. It pops up. Push your green button, it's gone through. That's what you want. Okay? So if you're not having your phone number everywhere and making it easy, this is a major overlook. Okay? It really is. Okay, hold on here. I think I got the guest call then.
Susan Gold, hello?
Hi, Susan, is that you?
My goodness, my sincere apologies. There I was an hour 10 early, and now I'm an hour 20 late.
Well, I always have a plan B, so that's all right. How you doing? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing just fine. Thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. Like I said, I always have a plan B. Things online is crazy, okay? So I can appreciate that, and I understand that. Before we go any further, though, I want you to tell the world, because we've only got like 5 minutes left on the show, tell people who you are a little bit. And
hey
about
there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. So I'm Susan Gold, and I'm a consultant, a coach, and a brand new author. I just published my memoir, which is called Toxic Family, Transforming Childhood Trauma into Adult Freedom.
Yeah. You know, that's a wonderful stuff. Again, I had some great stuff lined up for you, though. But it's a point where you wrote the book, Toxic Family. We've all been through some toxic times, but it's always tough when a toxicity comes from the family. It's always hard because, you know, as a young person, you're out in the world, you're getting a lot of crazy things going on. You want to come home to some normalcy. You want to come home to what's nice, where you can kind of recoup. You didn't have that, right?
Well, I'll tell you what. My family did the best they could. I really appreciate my mom and my dad, but they come from toxic lineage, and that was shared on down to them and shared on down to myself. And it's about breaking the chain. It's about seeing it for what it is, forgiving the challenges and the challengers, and making a new pathway with love.
That's perfect. You know, as some of your story is, and let people know about you a little bit, is you left home after graduation. I was telling my story at, I graduated from high school, and then I knew I was going to college. But I was going to college on a scholarship to play football, so I knew where I was going. I knew where people were waiting for me. How did you feel, or how was it for you leaving and not knowing anyone where you're going?
Well, I'll tell you what, I graduated on a Friday night and I left my home at 7:45 the following morning. It was to go to the Jersey Shore and work. And I was actually living with my sister and a few of her friends for the summer. And then I went off to college in Ohio, where I actually too had a scholarship for dance. But I couldn't wait to get out. I felt like college was just something to tick off, Hollis.
Very good. Very good. All right. So when you wrote your book, you wrote your memoir, after all the things you've done, I mean, you're a marathon runner, you're a triathlete, excellent athlete. Was there something where you're starting to build up, saying, okay, I'm going to write this memoir, I'm going to write this book? Or was there a wild moment over the years and said, okay, I got to write a book? Tell us about how it all came together.
In 2007, I was told by an Irish seer I had a book to write. And I just poo-pooed it. I really didn't want to go through that PR exercise. And then I had another intuitive tell me I had a book to write in 2020. And then another one that told me I had 3 books to write. So I thought I would surrender before it got to a whole library of books.
Very good. All right, so I'm just looking at some of the questions here. Share a unique perspective in viewing life changes. Talk about life changes, how we can adjust, how you adjusted, and how we can become better as an adult because of life changes.
I'll tell you what, that the art of reinvention is a gift. I think too many of us get caught into a compartment and we're afraid to take risks or make changes or follow our heart or even what's in front of us, Hollis. And having the upbringing I did, it gave me tenacity, it gave me fortitude, and it gave me independence. And I was able to translate that into my professional life and my personal life, but just to try new things even when I was intimidated and to take advantage of opportunities by saying the answer is yes until it's no.
You know, you got this strength from the tenacity of where you're growing up. Did that help you with your being an athlete? Because you did, as an athlete, marathons and triathletes, that's not easy, okay? But once you've done that and done more and more and more of that, did that help you become stronger in your career working at Fox because you met some powerful people there? Did it help you be stronger as a person, not to accept no, and you're going to just fight through it?
I'm going to say something that could be a little shattering. My endurance athletics actually was almost like my form of heroin. It took all the pain away, not the physical pain, but the emotional pain. It gave me a focus and something to strive for, and it also gave me a sense of self-worth and self-esteem. The issue became when the drug caught up with me and I was actually abusing my body to prove merit.
That makes sense. Yeah, I've seen that a lot where, I know myself where I was going through training, getting ready for athletes. Well, I tore my hamstring up real bad. They said, Hollis, you train too much. You didn't give yourself some time to heal. And I tore up my hamstring real bad, stuff like that. But, yeah, so I can understand that. I mean, you get to the point where you can't go to bed until you go to the gym. You can't do this because you got to get your workout in. And I was at the point where I couldn't say no myself. And to a point where I hurt myself so bad, I said, okay, well, I guess my body's telling me you did too much. I understand that. Okay. Go ahead, ma'am.
Well, I just wanted to respond to that, and I share that. I ended up from marathoning and triathloning and master swimming to the point where I could not walk around my block and continued to try to marshal myself through for a year after that injury because I didn't know how to rest. I didn't know how to soothe myself. I didn't know how to say no to that tyrant and bully that lived inside of me to clamoring for more achievement.
Very good. Our special guest today is Susan Gold. Susan, where do we go after this show to get your wonderful book and learn more about you?
Everything's at my website, Hollis, susangold.us. That's susangold.us.
And you add your book there, too, and more about you right there, right? Perfect.
And people can be in touch with me and can set up a free 15-minute conversation. Yeah, it's all there.
Perfect. Okay, so you helping others up the ladder through your talent agency. Okay, so how does that make you feel when you help others? You know, they come in and see you, and all of a sudden you see nice progression, you see some nice changes. How's that feeling for you? Does that take away, does that help you other than jogging and stuff like that, helping others?
I feel like that's part of my mission here on Earth. I feel like I came here, I had some really intense experiences, Hollis, in a variety of areas, both professionally and personally. And it's my privilege now to give back, to share what I've learned in my experience and to really see it as the ultimate gift, maybe in odd packages, but gifts to really thrive and to help others fully live here on Earth.
Susan, I know you do retreats. Talk about more some of your retreats. I know that means it must be wonderful for you to be able to get people in and just kind of bring them in on a Friday and then do a lot of different things by Sunday and Monday. Talk about your retreat, promote your retreat if you're still doing it, and how's that going for you?
So retreats came very early on in my journey of self-discovery, and it was really a time to slip away and see things from a new perspective. And that's why I'm happy to share that with others. And I recently moved from major metropolis after living decades in New York City and then in Los Angeles. I now reside in rural Montana, and it's absolutely exquisite here, and the terrain is magical. I mean, honestly, when I first visited, it felt like I was visiting Brigadoon or Camelot. It was so exquisite. So I'm happy to share that with others so they have a respite, a way to regroup and maybe gain some new perspective.
You mentioned that, you know, talk to us about the message inspiring, give us a teaser about just the every after. You sit there and said your book has a lot of things that makes you feel good at the end. Give us a little teaser about why your book makes a person feels good at the end of the book.
Because I think, Hollis, you know, I think it was Liza Minnelli that said you could always find somebody that's having a more difficult experience than you. And maybe I serve that for some, just having lived through what I have. So if I can be that, that's great. But the book really takes the people that read it onto my journey, and it gives them perspective on how to look at their circumstances. Maybe turn up that boulder and stop looking at the muck and look at the beautiful green moss that's growing and the abundance in that opportunity that's facing you. So to really garner new perspective. I see a lot of us carrying a big load of trash on our backs that we just won't let go of, mostly outdated belief systems or ways of thinking. And I think the book is an opportunity to drop that big, heavy bag.
Outstanding. So unfortunately, we're down to the end. You know, you've done so much. You've written your memoir. You got a wonderful son who's in political science at University of Pacific, and that's awesome. You know, you've done some Hollywood stuff. You worked at Fox. When it's all said and done, what would you like to be remembered for professionally in closing?
Not just professionally, but personally, I'd love to be remembered for kindness, for blazing a trail, for living with integrity, for telling truth, and for standing up for that little, wonderful, lost, muddied inner child that's inside each of us that just needs love and soothing and appreciation.
That's awesome. Susan Gold, everybody. Susan, thank you so much for being the pro you are and called in. I love that. So thank you. You know, we'd love to have you back so we can finish the whole thing. And but you have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Look forward to it, Hoss. Thank you. And thanks to your listeners.
Thank you. Susan Gold, all right? Make sure you go read a book. Read a memoir. I've done ups and downs in life, things like that. It happens, okay? But how you come out at the end? How do you come out at the end? Through all that will make you who you are. All right. She's done some wonderful things and it's awesome to see. Like I said, you can tell she's a pro. She's, you know, she called in the show regardless, just so she can stay and talk to us. And we love that. Okay. Hey guys, have a great weekend. We do have a guest, Stacy on Tuesday. So join us on Tuesday on Hollis Chapman Show. Let's see a little music. Thank you, everyone. Again, make sure you follow up with Susan Gold, her wonderful book, Toxic Family, Transforming Childhood Trauma into Adult Freedom. Awesome book, awesome cover. Make sure you go check it out, okay? Thanks, everybody. See you Tuesday on the Hollis Chapman Show.